Number 1.
My family is Native American. We grew up very spiritual. Not religious or anything, but we had spiritual beliefs. In our tradition, whenever you had a dream involving a friend or family member, you were obligated to tell them about it, as dreams were seen as a gateway to the spiritual realm, and anything you experienced while you slept could hold relevance, or a warning to someone close to you. For example, my mother once had a dream that her sister was withering away and dying before her eyes, choking to death on the living room floor. My mother told my aunt about the dream the very next day, and my aunt scheduled herself a doctor's appointment and had a family friend come over to inspect her house. My aunt's health was fine, but sure enough, it was discovered in her kitchen that a crack had formed in her oven, and a small amount of gas was leaking from the pipes. Had my mother not passed on the information about the dream, the leak would have likely gotten worse over time, and my aunt could have suffocated or worse in her own home. When I was very young, I had a dream that a tall, dark man with red eyes would come into my room at night and stand over my brother's crib. I would often wake up terrified and run screaming into my parents' room to tell them about the nightmare. My parents moved the crib into their room. About a week later, there was a terrible storm, and an electrical surge knocked out our power during the night. When that happened, the light bulb and the overhead light on my bedroom ceiling shattered and showered fiery sparks and fragments of broken glass down where my brother's crib used to be positioned. It woke me up out of a dead sleep and scared me to death. But fortunately, I wasn't hurt. After that incident, my grandfather told me about a similar situation that he had experienced when he was a child. He used to live in a single-room house with his family and would have a dream about a dark figure who also stood over his baby brother's cradle. He never told anyone about the dream, as he was really too young to comprehend the possible meaning behind it. And sure enough, his baby brother suffocated one night in his sleep. I guess, in the end, it comes down to whether or not you believe in coincidence. If you don't, make sure you pay very careful attention to your dreams. If you do, well, those are three pretty extreme coincidences that have happened in my family alone. How many instances as extreme as that have happened in yours?
Number 2.
To start, I'm a 20-year-old female living in Arkansas. This story is completely true. These experiences happened to me a few years ago, when I was about 16 or 17, at this local boutique I was working at. I worked at this store for several years before I left for college. I've had encounters with the paranormal, and this was one of my first experiences. While working at the store, I always got an unsettling feeling. Feelings of dread and anger would often overcome me while I was working alone, but that was easy to pass off as paranoia from working by myself. Unfortunately, I have to learn never to ignore these feelings due to what has happened at this store. As the months of me working there went on, little things would start to happen. Doors would slam, I would hear kids talking, things would be moved. But I passed off these events as nothing more than my imagination getting the best of me. I was very wrong. One day I was working with a good friend of mine from my high school, Ava. Ava and I were opening the store on a Sunday morning and would be working together for the rest of the day. Sundays were always slow, so we would often chat and chill for a while when there was no customers in the store. The store had these large white pillars near the checkout area. Along the checkout counter were very big shelves with large glass containers that had glass lids. These jars were about a foot and a half to 2 feet in diameter. I was leaning on a pillar near the checkout area while talking to my friend when suddenly a lid from one of these jars flew off and smashed right into the pillar I was leaning on. Glass went everywhere, including in my hair and all over my body, which made it virtually impossible for me to run away without getting scraped up a bit. Ava and I both ran outside as fast as we could, crying, and were completely out of breath. On our way out, we still swear we heard a deep growl echoing throughout the store. The boutique was located on a fairly busy street, so I can only imagine what the people who were driving by were thinking. It took us hours to calm down and clean up all the glass. To this day, I don't know what happened or what caused this. I prayed and blessed the store for our protection, and shortly after I graduated. I hope I never encounter whatever that was again.
Number 3.
My grandmother bought a home in a Salt Lake City suburb in the 1960s, after her and my grandfather had their first child together. According to her, she knew the house was haunted since day one. She said that even though it was clear early on that something paranormal was in the house, she never felt threatened or inclined to leave. Over the years, my grandmother welcomed more children, who were raised in the house, and it became a safe haven for my entire family. We would use the home for family gatherings, and some of us used it as temporary residency at one time or another. Most of the family has experienced something unusual in the home, and it has been commonly attributed to ghosts. Aside from one instance, the spirits have never acted maliciously or given us any reason to leave. The following is the one incident. My grandfather died in 1999, and several months after his death, my grandmother was in the kitchen doing the dishes. She said that she felt a strange feeling come over her, like she needed to leave the house, and she said later that she felt like my grandfather was trying to warn her of danger. Before she could even finish her thought, she had a sensation that something very strong was grabbing her from behind and trying to force her into the basement. There was no one else in the house, but she felt something powerful restraining her. She fought against the unseen force and managed to make it to her kitchen table and held onto it while the entity violently pulled and groped at her. Finally, the sensation stopped, and the house went silent and peaceful again. She said that she has never been so scared before in her life. My grandmother is a tough old lady, but you can tell that the incident really did shake her deeply. While telling me the story, at the same kitchen table, she told me about a young girl ghost that lived in her basement. She said that this girl liked to play pranks on her, like pull off the blankets while she was sleeping, or hide things around the house. She said that the girl would giggle mischievously, so she knew it was her. The girl seemed peaceful and acted like she just wanted somebody to play with. One day my mom was doing the laundry in the basement. She was living there during her separation from my dad, and she said that she saw what appeared to be a hazy outline of a tiny person. She said hello with a nervous laugh, then the haze would just disappear. I have never personally experienced anything paranormal in the home, but after hearing the stories, I was creeped out about being alone in any of the rooms. Now fast forward a few years to the exact same kitchen table. My mother and I were sitting with two of my friends. We'll call them Brad and Ashley. My friends and I had no money to go out, so we decided just to hang out at grandmother's haunted house. Mom and I began telling stories about what other family members had witnessed here. The stories were ultimately met with enjoyment, but disbelieving eyes, as we began telling them about the menacing spirit who tried to manhandle my grandmother. Four of the light bulbs in the chandelier that hung above the table exploded without warning, and glass went everywhere. Fortunately, none of us were seriously injured. After a few moments of just looking around at each other, we all decided we needed to get out, so we left the house without cleaning up the glass. Even now, I recall this as being absolutely the most creeped out I have ever been. There was no power surge, or anything that we could determine that may have caused the chandelier to shatter like that. The electricity didn't go out, and they were the only four bulbs in the house that exploded. Brad and Ashley haven't gone back to that house since, and I call my grandmother at least once a week to check up on her and see how that old house is treating her. I sometimes wonder if it is the ghost of a little girl, or perhaps something more sinister.
Number 4.
I'm a 22-year-old male from Switzerland, and one of my aunts owns a house up in the isolated mountain range not far away from Simplon Pass. As a kid, I remember visiting the house often on weekend trips with my family and enjoying the wide-open countryside, but the running joke was that we could never stay longer past the weekend because that's when the ghost family came back. It used to spook me as a kid, but in a playful Halloween fun kind of way. That didn't really keep me up at night. It wasn't until I was in my early 20s and asked my aunt if I could borrow the house for a week-long getaway with some friends that she revealed to me that the ghost family story was never meant as a joke. She sat me down and revealed to me that every Wednesday, the house would be visited by a family of paranormal entities that she suspected were the original owners of the property when it was settled on in the 1850s. She told me how the neighbors would see lights turn on and off in the house on Wednesday nights and could hear the sounds of crying and yelling when they knew that nobody was in the house. My aunt then confided in me that she had witnessed figures moving from room to room in the dead of night, always staring at her as though she were unwelcomed. The paranormal activity only seemed to happen on Wednesdays, so my aunt made it a point to never be around during that time of the week. Now, it goes without saying I didn't believe her at all. In fact, I was kind of a dick and laughed in her face. She was getting on in years, and I suspected her superstitions combined with her declining mental state were starting to make her paranoid. I've always been a staunch atheist, but even if for a second I was willing to entertain the notion of paranormal beings walking amongst us, the fact that the hauntings were limited to just Wednesdays seemed so random and meaningless, I barely let her words sink in, and persisted on asking permission to use the house, to which she reluctantly agreed. My three friends and I packed our car with booze and skiing equipment, and drove up to the property on a Monday. And frankly, I had forgotten all about my aunt's ramblings by the time we got there. Our plan was to stay there through Friday. Monday night, we played loud music, drank beer, lit a bonfire outside, and ultimately had a great time. On Tuesday, we hit the slopes, watched some bootleg films, and played some poker. It was after midnight when we all drunkenly staggered back into our bedrooms and passed out. I was awoken by my girlfriend, who was sharing the bed with me. She was complaining that one of the other two were pacing up and down the hallway. I checked my phone and discovered it was 2:30 a.m., and I had only been asleep for barely 2 hours. I lied still and listened for a moment. And definitely heard footsteps wandering through the kitchen. But then the footsteps doubled back and walked down the hall again. I flung off the covers in anger and opened the door to the bedroom and noticed the glow of the kitchen light shining into the hall. I called out to whoever it was to shut up and go to bed. I didn't see anyone in the hallway, but the moment I called out, the lights went out in the kitchen and the entire house went dead quiet. That confused me, because it meant my other friends had apparently just shut off the light in the kitchen and was now standing there silently, in the darkness, instead of returning to their room. But I was too tired to care. I crawled back into bed with my girlfriend and had just begun to doze off again when I heard loud, inconsiderate footsteps walking directly past my bedroom door. My girlfriend cursed, and I launched myself out of bed again and threw open my door. I turned on the hallway light and stormed into the second bedroom. I'm not sure what I expected to find, but it definitely wasn't both of my other friends passed out asleep in bed. Even if they were faking it, how had they doubled back down the hall so damn quickly? For a split second, I was terrified that someone had broken in and was hiding somewhere in the house. But then, I remembered my aunt's warning. This was early Wednesday after all. I closed the door to the second bedroom, told my girlfriend to stand in the doorway to our bedroom, and watch the second bedroom door. I grabbed a fire poker and walked through every room in the house, turning on every light, and even checked the crawl spaces. The deadbolt on the front door was locked, and none of the windows were open. As I started turning off lights and heading back to bed, my girlfriend hissed angrily at me and demanded to know what I had been doing in the kitchen. I frowned at her and told her I had been in the kitchen for only a few seconds as I walked through it to get to the living room. But she insisted she heard the cabinet doors being opened and shut. I suddenly felt very shaken. My girlfriend was clearly agitated and wouldn't make up a story to scare me, In fact, I haven't even told any of them about my aunt's warning, so it wasn't like this was all some elaborate prank they were all playing on me. I put on my brave face and told her to just forget about it and go back to bed. We were all tired and hungover and needed sleep. As soon as I shut my bedroom door, I heard footsteps in the kitchen again, but I forced myself to ignore it. My heart was racing as I lie in bed next to my girlfriend, who kept whispering that she was nervous and wanted to lean a chair against the door to jam it shut, since they didn't have locks. But I calmly stroked her hair until she finally went to sleep. I heard the sounds of footsteps outside my door again around 4 in the morning, and I could have sworn there was also a child's voice murmuring something from somewhere down the hall. I was equally furious, confused, and terrified. About 15 minutes later, I heard a yelling from the second bedroom. I sprung out of bed and made towards the commotion, but I bumped into my friend in the hall. He was furious and demanded to know why I had been in his room, sitting on the bed. He shoved me roughly and accused me of filling up his girlfriend while she slept, which in turn brought my own girlfriend out into the hall. I swore to him that I hadn't been in their room, but he insisted he felt the mattress shift in the dark, as if someone had stood up from a sitting position. There was a tense few seconds of the four of us yelling in the hall before I saw it. Over my friend's shoulder, at the far end of the hall, where the living room met the entryway, by the front door, I saw the silhouette of a figure standing there watching us. I distinctly remember seeing two pale, hostile eyes staring back at me. My friend noticed my face and spun around, but the eyes vanished. I could only stand there in shock and horror as my friend ran down the hall and started turning on every light in the house. My girlfriend started shaking, and my friend's girlfriend grabbed her hunting knife and started stomping from room to room. I slid down the wall in a sitting position, and my girlfriend started begging me to leave with her, and that she was scared. I wasn't sure if she had seen those eyes too, or was just afraid because she saw how frightened I was. My friend and his girlfriend returned agitated and upset, saying there wasn't anyone else in the house. As soon as those words left their mouths, the kitchen light turned off, and after a few seconds, they came back on. We all left right then and there, without taking anything except the clothes on our backs. I didn't see anything after that, but my girlfriend swears that once we were all outside, piling into the car, she saw a small girl looking out at us through the living room window. We drove down the mountain, leaving all the cabin lights on. My buddy and I returned on Thursday for only about 20 minutes to collect all of our things. The lights were off when we got there. We locked the cabin up and never went back. I didn't tell my aunt about it, and the four of us don't discuss what happened. I don't know what I saw and heard, and I don't ever plan on returning there, no matter what day of the week it is.
Number 5.
My name is Eliza, and I'm a paranormal investigator and a medium. Not much from the dead scares me. I often find them much more trustworthy than the living, since they really don't have anything to lose. Personally, I find that the living are capable of much worse than what any spirit can do. But that's a story for another time. I was 22, and I was with my mom and the investigation team that we're members of. We were at this historical society for a charity event. Basically, we came to the site, a charming turn-of-the-century house, and we set up stations where we could play around with the investigation equipment. It was a pretty sweet deal considering that we prefer working with both spiritual and scientific methods, so they really got the best of both worlds. I was sitting in the bedroom and people were coming in and leaving disappointed that nothing was really happening. That's when I saw her. Not on camera, but I saw her when I walked into one of the rooms. She was a tall, thin, intense-looking woman with a white dress and her hair was tied up high. She just sat there on the bed, glaring at me. I got the sense that she was upset that people were coming into her bedroom so late at night. I attempted speaking to her. I asked for her name, and I told her that if she went up to the third floor, she could get some privacy since no one was allowed up there. She stood up and left after telling me her name was Ruth. For the life of me, I couldn't get the image of her out of my head. She seemed to be so out of place, yet so genuine. I had never seen anything paranormal this clearly before. I asked if the other investigators had seen her, even on the monitors, but no one had. I was convinced that someone had to know who Ruth was. I went to the ladies who ran the Historical Society, asking for anyone named Ruth who fit the description I gave. I drew a picture for them, hoping it would help them in their search. I gave the picture to the ladies, and they offered to look for her in their records. I felt as though Ruth was attached to something in the house, or perhaps the house itself. It was about midnight when the whole event ended. We packed up and began putting everything into the cars, when the two ladies of the Historical Society approached me, their faces white as sheets. "We found her," they said, trembling. They handed me a newspaper clipping they had from way back, when showing the Historical Society's anniversary, and among the photos was one of a man and a woman who used to own the house. My jaw dropped, and my stomach flipped with a combination of shock and relief, when I saw a tall, thin woman with her hair piled up high and intense eyes. Her name was Ruth Jibberson, and she died in the house. I vowed never to doubt myself again, and since then, my abilities have grown, and it's much easier to draw what I see regarding spirits. It's a nice confirmation when other mediums see the same person. Which brings me to another experience. This second story takes place 4 years later. By this time, I was much more comfortable with my own abilities, and was still doing investigations with my mom and the same group. This time, we were in this tiny old bar in Atlantic County that dated back to the turn of the century. We made our way past the bar and went up the stairs, and I was already feeling a sense of dread. It was tiny, cramped, and full of what I can only describe as total heaviness. But I wasn't afraid. You cannot be afraid in these types of situations, because fear keeps you from being level-headed and ruling out any possibilities other than the paranormal. The upstairs area was once part of an inn. The owner kept trying to tell us about the history, but none of us wanted to hear it. The less we know about a place, the better. I was feeling a heaviness in my chest, but it wasn't my own fear. It was the feeling of someone else's fear, if that makes sense. I was getting flashes of memories of people fighting in the narrow halls, when I saw a woman in her 20s and petite features poke her head out of the door across from me. This place was alive with activity, but it wasn't the activity the owner was telling us about. We unloaded our equipment, and I was given a pad of paper to draw on, since I like to draw whatever it is I see. The news crew was interviewing some of us, asking us if we were ever afraid of what we do. And of course, we weren't. We do this to make sure people aren't afraid to live or work in a haunted space. The investigation was long, and we weren't picking up a lot, but we were getting a lot of psychic impressions. Truth be told, I wish we had gotten more of an even mixture, but this kind of stuff is unpredictable. It was at the end of the night when I had my moment. The owner told us that we were in his late uncle's room, and he had been known to appear within it, but that's not what I picked up. My mom and I were in two separate rooms, and I was with one of my fellow investigators. I noticed the young lady again, and she was reclined on a bed posing. She was in what I can only describe as 1940s negligee and was smoking a cigarette. I didn't say anything until the investigator asked me if I saw a woman fitting the description on the bed. I said yes, and immediately began drawing her the best I could. She seemed to appreciate the attention we were giving her. She showed the both of us that she used to work in the brothel that carried on upstairs under the guise of an inn, and this was her room. My mother entered the room, and she asked if someone had suffered from a heart attack in this room, because she felt a sharp pain in her chest when she walked in. That wasn't the case. The investigator and I got the same impression, and together, we pieced the young woman's story together. She was a prostitute who worked upstairs, and was quite popular because she was very pretty. As a result, she had several admirers. One of them was an incredibly jealous man, and figured that if he couldn't have her, no one could. He stabbed her in the chest in the middle of the act, leaving her body alone and her voice silenced. The heavy feeling that plagued that room immediately dissipated, leaving the air peaceful and content. I think she moved on. She was trapped only because she wanted her story to be told, and I helped her. It reminded me why I have this ability. It was more than just helping the living. It also brought the dead peace. I left a quick drawing of her on the nightstand. I figured if she ever came back to visit, she might want to look at it. I took a photo of it, and I've attached it in addition to the news article that we were featured in.
Number 6.
My dad sells cars for a dealership here in Vallejo, California. There's a lot of cars on display at the dealership, but the inventory that does not fit on site is stored in a nearby warehouse on Mare Island. Mare Island is a naval shipyard that dates back to the mid-1800s. On the island, there's a variety of warehouses that are still in use, as well as several creepy abandoned ones. It's quite a spooky place to be around at night, and people are known to go urban exploring, use the abandoned warehouses for photo shoots, and ghost hunting. I've hardly done any research on the shipyard, but if you Google Mare Island Hauntings, you'll see that it's listed among the top 5 most haunted places in the Bay Area. There are even episodes on YouTube of ghost hunting shows that have gone to explore Mare Island. From time to time, my dad has to go there to pick up a car that someone has purchased. He's friendly with the security guards on site, and they chat for a while every time he stops by. The place is monitored 24/7. There is one security guard there that has night shift, and he tends to see him in the early mornings. He would always tell my dad about creepy things that happened there at night, like flickering lights and loud bangs. Basically the typical stories you hear from a nighttime security guard. One day the warehouse upgraded their security cameras. Sitting around one night, the security guard was testing out the new equipment, moving camera angles around and playing back recorded footage. As he was looking at the different monitors, he saw this image and froze. There was a white figure of a woman staring back at him. He paused it and took a picture of it on his cell phone and sent it to all the guys who never believed his paranormal stories. Let's just say they no longer make fun of him anymore. My dad showed me the image about a week after this happened. As far as I know, the recorded footage is long gone, as this happened over 2 years ago.
There's always a reason to be afraid.